And welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. We are doing fundraising and taking calls. We'll have that number for you in just a little bit. Just so you know, elections are coming. You know, I've been talking about that for a long time. You can't say I haven't been warning you. And the last day to make sure you are registered, or in fact to register, is October 7th. Hey, wait a minute. Today is October 7th. Well, what do you do? You can go to harrisvotes.com and get election registration information. You cannot register online, but you can get the documents that you need to register and fill them out and mail them. And as I understand it, as long as it is postmarked today, you will be registered. And to make sure you're registered, you can periodically check at harrisvotes.com if you're in Harris County, or you can go to votetexas.gov. Vote Texas is one word, even though I pronounce it like two because I don't like to slur my consonants. Votetexas.gov, harrisvotes.com. This is technically what they call an off-year election. That makes it sound, shoot, we're not going to be taking phone calls. I'm just going to have to be super interesting. Off-year elections, I think, get a bad rap. It's like, well, you know, I'm not voting for president. I'm not voting for governor. I'm not voting for Senate. I'm not voting for House of Representatives. This freaking thing don't matter anymore. But in fact, this is a big deal. There are 10 constitutional amendments on the ballot. We're not like the federal government. We have hundreds of constitutional amendments in the Texas Constitution, but that doesn't make them less important. If anything, it makes it more important. I'll be talking about those over the coming weeks as we get closer to elections. Early voting starts October 1st. My suggestion would be that the Chronicle has apparently made some endorsements in some of the special elections for state legislature. You can go to League of Women Voters Houston, and you can get information there on what's on the ballot. I strongly suggest going to thecaucus.org. That's the caucus, one word, .org. It's an GLBT organization. And I have found that their endorsements align very nicely with my philosophy. They may or may not align with yours, but what I'm basically saying is there are many sources that you can find that will tell you about the pros and cons of the amendments, that will brief you on the candidates in the various city council districts, the various mayoral candidates. I have some preferences, but because we are a nonpartisan station, I'm not going to pitch for one of them. But you can learn. There is information out there. And then you can go to harrisvotes.com or votetexas.gov if you're outside of Harris County. You can not only find the entire sample ballot, you can find your specific ballot for your precinct. My precinct ballot runs about 2 pages, and it's now getting to the point where I'm going to have to do some serious research on the amendments and propositions that I want to vote yes or no. And I think I'm actually in one of the special election districts for a state representative. Now, here's the thing. It's really, really important that you treat this as a presidential election. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, show up at the polls. Vote. Make sure you're registered. Show up to vote. The people that are running for office right now are the people that will most directly affect your lives. They are the people that will decide whether streets are maintained, whether parking is added in areas like the Heights, where there essentially is none. They'll decide how many police there are and what they're paid, and how many fire personnel there are and how they're paid, and how many emergency response personnel there are and how they're paid. and whether potholes get fixed, and how they do grade separations, and what you're allowed to do in public and what you're not, where you can smoke, where you can drink, how much you can drink. They will decide on things like taxes. These are the things that really affect your life. This is serious business. And we all have a responsibility. If we want change, if we want to make things better, half the battle is showing up. You have to take charge of your desires to make things better. And one of the important ways to do that is to show up to vote. Now, for an off-year election, I was fearing that we might get like a 15 or 20% turnout. I still fear that. But there has been at least one poll I've heard that suggests that among registered voters, we may get a 30% turnout, which is actually pretty impressive for this kind of an election. I would love to see 40 or 50. That's what I mean by making believe this is a presidential year, and that's how important it is you show up. There, you know, Houston basically has what they like to call, well, not what they like to call, what, well, I'm going to say what they like to call, Houston has what they like to call nonpartisan elections, which is to say nobody tells you what party affiliation or party philosophy they have. So, for example, in district Council District A, there is a candidate who, from what I hear, has fairly good prospects, a Dan Patrick protege. We have in mayor, we have a candidate who is a Trump conservative. But you don't necessarily know that, unless you do at least a certain amount of research. Texas, the Texas legislature outlawed straight ticket voting. They did that, by the way, to disadvantage Democrats. In Texas, or in Houston, rather, when you talk city government, you don't have that option anyhow because it is technically nonpartisan. In California, they call it basically a jungle primary, which I hate that term. I think it's demeaning. But you know, we've got like half a dozen different candidates for mayor. We've got Turner, who is incumbent, and then we have challengers. So the devil you know, the devil you don't. Maybe it's not the devil you know. Maybe it's the angel you know. Do a little research. This is an important election. Do we want conservatives in office? Do we want progressives in office? Do we want libertarians in office? If you don't show up, you never know what you're going to get. So it's really, really important. You know, in some of these elections, literally a handful of votes could decide them. A handful of votes. There was an election a couple of years ago in Montgomery County where in one particular precinct, one person voted. Wrap your head around that. I mean, a precinct has to have at least hundreds of people in it, right? In this precinct, in this off, whatever year it was, election, it wasn't that there was nothing of consequence on the ballot. It was that only one person in the precinct showed up. They should put a red badge of shame around the boundaries of that precinct. Don't be that precinct. Go out and vote. Okay, I've beat that dead horse a little bit. Just as point of information, I've received my mail-in ballot, because I'm an old guy, over 65. You're automatically entitled to it, but you must request it annually. So if you have, if you qualify for a mail-in ballot, if you have requested a mail-in ballot, you should have it by now or immediately soon after. If you have not, call the county clerk's office. Go to harrisvotes.com. They'll tell you how to make sure that your ballot has been mailed. Maybe they need to resend one and void the one they sent. But you should have a mail-in ballot by now if you've applied. You technically can mail that in right away. You do need postage. Technically, you can mail it in right away. You don't have to wait for early voting to start on the 21st. But please take some time before you mail it to investigate how you're voting. The stakes, you know, we're in a period in American history, Texas history, local history. The stakes are high. We have people that want to dismantle any kind of social safety net. We have people that want to dismantle any kind of government responsibility. We've had a Congress, I realize no one in Congress is up for election, but we've had a Republican Congress that has racked up debt. Some argue with the strategy that when progressives get into power, they won't be able to do social programs because they'll have to deal with all that debt. So, you know, consistency of governance matters. And just dropping out for 4 years is not the way to run a country. I mean, how would it be if, like, your mom and dad went away for 2 years and somebody else was raising you, and then they came back after 2 years and they decided to do things completely different from the people that had been raising you for 2 years? That's what happens when you swing that pendulum back and forth as hard as we have politically. I'm a great believer in stability. You know, it's like you go a little this way, you go a little that way, you make things work better, but, you know, extremists don't work. Let's see what my next thing is going to be. Oh, an important thing about this election is early voting allows you not only to vote at any open polling place. You can go, again, harrisvotes.com or votetexas.gov and see where your early voting place is and what the hours are. You do not have to vote according to your precinct. You can go anywhere that's convenient, after school, after work, on the way home, whatever. But also, a relatively new wrinkle, we've only done this once so far, is you on election day, you don't have to find your precinct. If you go to the wrong precinct, you don't have to drop in a provisional ballot. You don't have to chase trying to find your precinct. It'll be like early voting. Election day is like early voting. You can go to any open polling place and vote. That takes away a lot of the disincentive for a lot of people. If there's a long line at one place, if you feel that that's bad, you go to another place. But I'll tell you, at these polling places, generally the lines move pretty quick. Even on a really heavy turnout, like election day turnout, generally an hour at most. You know, sometimes it might be 10 or 15 minutes. You really don't have an excuse. And, of course, there will now be polling places on the University of Houston campuses and also on the Texas Southern University campuses. So students will be able to vote there. Now, if you're a young person, 18, 19, 20, 21, I have spoken to and heard conversations from young people about all the things they're preoccupied with that kind of distract them from voting. And what young people need to do, I understand. I mean, I was never a great student, but my stepdaughter was a phenomenal student, and I know what she had to do to stay on top, and she worked really hard. But the things that affect you, things like the conditions at your school, the curricula at your school, the teachers at your school, what your teachers are paid, how they're rewarded, how up-to-date your technology systems are, what your tuition costs. These are all things that are impacted potentially by your vote. So even if you're a student that you think you don't have a stake because you've got other things on your mind, think of your issues and think about which candidates best reflect your concerns and your issues. Okay, I've kind of got through why local elections matter. I've now beaten that dead horse. Okay, I'll tell you what. Before I get into some of my other stuff, why don't we go to our first break?
Nothing happens in a vacuum. Foreign interference in our elections, domestic voter suppression campaigns, the sale of our government to the highest bidder. The news is vital, but with just the headlines, it can be pretty confusing, especially how it connects to you. Support KPFT, Houston's Pacifica station, for the headlines and the information that help piece events together so you can make sense of it all. Become a new or renewing sustaining donor today. Your $5 or $10 a month gift makes it all possible. Call 713-526-5738. That's JAM KPFT, or go online to kpft.org.
Your turn. It's your turn to call us at 713-526-5738. You know, as much as the national scene is important, so is the scene of what's happening here in Houston. These elections coming up November have a very big impact on what goes on in the city. Talking about trash collection, talking about getting the roads fixed, talking about transportation, talking about the census, which brings money into this community, talking about how districts are all lined up. A lot of that has to do with the local election. This is what we're talking about today. And it's really important that you support what we do here, if this is what you like to listen to. Because we're here, mostly volunteers, doing programming, which is great, volunteers answering the phone. We don't send it off to some phone bank across the country or across the world. It's here in Houston. And you can talk to us and you can tell us what you like and don't like about KPFT. So call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or go directly to kpft.org. This is your radio station. We're asking you to support it.
And we're back. You know, Jack raises some great points. In a period of great information uncertainty. Now, I'm not going to tell you that KPFT is the revealed word. I try to be as accurate with my information as possible. I am not the revealed word. But if, especially if you're a progressive, but also if you're a conservative, I welcome you on my show. This is a place, my show, Think Wing Radio, other shows like Politics Done Right, we take questions, we exchange information, we have discussions about credibility and sources, and we're one of the very, very few radio stations, maybe the only radio station in Houston that gives you those kinds of opportunities if you're a progressive. And maybe to some extent, even if you're a conservative. You know, maybe as a conservative, you're tired of preaching to the choir. Maybe you want to tell us conservatives how you feel. And you know what? On my show, on Politics Done Right, on other programs, you're mostly welcome to share your opinion as long as we can have a civil discussion. We don't have people just declaring manifestos. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to the people I agree with. I want to talk to the people I don't necessarily agree with. I want to have discussions with people that maybe, you know, they're literally undecided. I think that this is a good time to talk about why I named this show what it is and why it is worthy of your support. I call this show Think Wing Radio because whether you are on the right or on the left or in the center, I don't want you to simply take a knee-jerk position because of dogma. That's the purpose of my show. That, and I try to talk about stuff that's either really immediate that, you know, they haven't already covered to death, or stuff that isn't covered at all. That's kind of how I envision the show and how I try to do it. And for that to happen, I need your help. The station needs your help. You know, Jack was talking about sustaining donorships, sustaining assistance. That doesn't have to be a big number. You know, sometimes we ask for $50, $100, whatever you can afford. But, you know, sometimes if you have a credit card or a debit card, or maybe you can set up a checking account draft, you know what? We can do $5 a month. We can do $10 a month. It's, for most people, a very, very nominal amount of money. In the course of your life, you won't miss it. But to us, it's our lifeblood. It's what keeps us on the air. You know, we spend about 100 and, let's see, actually, I've got a number here. Don't I have a number here? Well, I used to have a number here. I think that it's something like $125 an hour to keep us on the air. Now, this hour, my goal for this show, for this hour, $850. Man, I'm feeling pressure. So please call 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Make a one-time donation if that's what you can afford. If you can afford a few dollars this time around, I understand. But if you can do a sustainer for several dollars a month, 3, 5, 10, 13, 17, 18 is high. You can do like a double high every month, if you know what that means. That's like L'chaim kind of thing. Yeah, chai is like, it's a mitzvah. It's a blessing. When you donate in multiples of 18, it's high. Yeah, there's actually it's not high like hello, it's high. We need your help. We are community supported. We try to be community focused. And I'll get back to my show in just a moment. But this is something, you know, if you feel you get value from this show, if you feel that keeping you informed and keeping you aware of voting and elections and how to get information, if you feel that I make a contribution to you in terms of topical discussion, in terms of making you aware of things that, as I like to frame them, are either below the fold or inside the paper, things that maybe are interesting or worthy of discussion that may not make it to the news heads on TV or cable. If you value that, if you value open discussion from the right, the center, the left, open-mindedness, civility, information, awareness, I need your support to keep doing that. So 713-526-5738 is a phone call, or you can text. You can text to 713-526-5738 and then text the word give, and then you'll have a little interactive thing that will allow you to make some choices. So there are lots of ways to do it. You can use a credit card. You can use a debit card. You can mail a check. You can call in a pledge, and, you know, if you're driving or something, you don't want to fish in your wallet, you can just call 713-526-5738 and give them your information, and then we can email you a reminder. You know, all we're taking at that point is your promise. We're taking you at your word. It's a pledge, and you then fulfill your pledge later, and that's fine, just so we know, and so you know we're depending on you. Okay, I'm going to stop with this and get back to some of this other stuff. There's actually a longer story associated with this, but I think the interesting part is the headline in the first couple of sentences. The U.S. Supreme Court kicks off a new term, and you may have heard this, but Justice Thomas is not there. The conservative justice is absent due to an unspecified illness. The court began hearing its first argument today. So, okay, you know, he's been on the court since 1991. He's not a youngster. He's not elderly, but I think he's about 71, 73. So, there's that. In New York, a federal judge, has dismissed Trump's request to keep his taxes secret. Federal judge on Monday dismissed Trump's efforts to prevent his tax returns from being turned over to a New York grand jury. The ruling raises the likelihood that Trump's tax returns will be provided in response to the subpoena, although any material obtained through a grand jury subpoena is covered by grand jury secrecy rules, meaning it would likely only become public if it were used as evidence at a trial. But that's only, of course, one aspect. There are other cases pending. The court dismissed Trump's, quote, extraordinary claim that any occupant of the White House enjoys, quote, absolute immunity from criminal process of any kind, according to U.S. District Court Judge Victor Marrero in his 75-page opinion. The judge said, that such a position, quote, would constitute an overreach of executive power. Attorney for Trump filed an emergency notice of appeal. No doubt they're going to try to get it to the Supreme Court, where they've packed the court. So, to be continued. Or, as Rachel says, watch this space. Now, here's something that I find personally, geopolitically, very disappointing. The U.S. says it will stand aside as Turkey moves into Syria. Trump and Turkey's Erdogan spoke by phone, but the White House didn't confirm Turkey's announcement that they will meet next month. My feeling is that this headline might as well be U.S. abandons good ally for ambivalent ally. I think that, you know, I have nothing against Turkey as a nation, but I think that their politics has been moving them away from the West. And I realize that the West has been ambivalent with the relationship with Turkey. But, you know, now they're trying to exert themselves as a regional power. They are buying a Russian air defense system, which makes them incompatible with NATO, even though they're a NATO country. And the White House said Sunday that, or Turkey actually announced as well, that Turkey would soon begin operations in northeastern Syria. They want to create a buffer zone, which includes, by the way, taking out the Kurds. They want to resettle Syrian refugees in the buffer zone. Erdogan has expressed frustration with what Turkey sees as the failure of the United States to implement an agreement to establish a so-called safe zone east of the Euphrates River, according to Reuters. On Saturday, Turkey signaled its intention to begin operations, saying an incursion into Syria was imminent, and U.S. troops have been seeking to broker an agreement between Turkey and the Syrian Kurds, but the U.S. statement made it clear that the U.S. would not interfere, saying U.S. forces will no longer be in the immediate area. So let's break this down. Turkey has been a lukewarm ally in efforts against ISIS. ISIS fighters typically have been going, transiting through Turkey, which admittedly it's hard to police a whole mountainous border, but Turkey has been very relaxed about letting people migrate through into Syria and Iraq to join ISIS. They've been a little on again, off again in terms of how they allow us to use their territory and to what extent they've coordinated with us. They consider the Kurdish organizations in Iraq and Syria to be terrorist organizations. I guess, you know, if you want to put a Western equivalent on it, it's kind of like you had the IRA and Sinn Féin and the Provisional IRA. And I think that that's a way of framing the Kurdish situation in Iraq, in Syria, in Turkey. They're also in Afghanistan and Iran, by the way. But right now what's in play is the three countries, Turkey, Iraq, and Syria. They have been, the Kurds have been reliable U.S. allies. They have coordinated with us well. They have supported U.S. objectives. They have been aggressive fighters. They are a key reason that ISIS has been beaten in the northern parts of Iraq and Syria. And, you know, I have made it very plain on this show over years, I do not favor the fragmentation of countries. I would like to see countries maintain their border, because fragmentation of countries gets to be really, really messy. I would like minorities to be able to maintain and obtain their rights and privileges within the boundaries of a country. And I know that's not always perfect or possible, but that's my goal. But I think that given the situation in Asia Minor right now, I think that the Kurds have earned a country. They've been screwed out of having a country for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. So I think that they deserve a country. Okay, we're going to take our next half-hour break, our next quarterly break. So let's run it.
No event happens in a vacuum. Context matters. If you don't know what led to an event, you won't know why it's happening and how it affects you and your life. KPFT, Pacifica, and our local talk shows don't just report headlines. We bring you the full story, including the events leading up to what's happening today. Support KPFT right now so we can continue sharing not just what happened, but why. Become a new sustaining donor right now. Call 713-526-5738. That's 713-JAM-KPFT. Or go online to kpft.org.
So it's your turn. It's your turn to contribute to KPFT. You know, we do two types of programming here at KPFT. We do a lot of music program, and we do a lot of public affairs. And our public affairs is falling behind. And part of our mission here as a radio station by the FCC is to serve the public. And the mission statement of Pacifica is about education. And we want to continue this type of programming because we think it's important. The music is important too, but the public affairs is really important. So we want to know if you're supporting this type of programming. Do we continue on to keep trying to develop better programming and making the programming more relevant to what's going on in Houston? And that's what we're going to try to do. But we need to know that you want this type of programming. Call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or do it online at kpft.org. The issues that we talk about are important to this community. The issues that are going on in Washington is important to this community. The issues that go on in Austin is important to this community. And we're trying to do our best to serve you as the listeners. But we want to know you as the listeners are concerned about these issues. And it is troubling times here in this country of what's going on. We're trying to let you know the truth. And it's not always that easy, and it's not always that happy to tell you what's going on. But we feel it's part of our mission. And we want to continue this mission. This mission that's been going on for almost 50 years here in Houston at KPFT and Pacifica Radio here in Houston. It's your voice. We are your voice to be able to get this information out to you, to serve the over 2 million people in Houston and over the close to 6 million people in metropolitan area. I don't know if you know this, but Houston is like the sixth largest radio listening market in the country. And I know you have a lot of choices up and down the dial, but we hope that we're the one that's serving you. And we're hoping that you believe that it's important to support us to continue to support you. We don't run commercials. What we do is we rely on you to support this station. Mostly our people that come in here and do programmings are volunteers, and we appreciate all the volunteer work that everybody does. Show them your support. Show them that you care about the programming that they do. Call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or go to kpft.org. We try to keep these fundraisers short as possible, but they're not that short, and we know that. But to be able to do that, we need your support. Call us. Show us your support for KPFT and what we do here for the community. We're not we are owned by a national nonprofit organization, but we're not 1,000 stations. We're 5 stations. And we serve each, of the 5 metropolitan areas that we have stations in. But we're locally run. And that's really important. We have a local board here in Houston that watches over what we do and tries to serve us. So call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or go to kpft.org.
And thank you, Jack, for that. Okay, I'm Mike Koenig. This is Think Wing Radio on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. The number here is 713-526-5738. Now, today, that number goes to our Pledge Central. We are hoping that those of you who can will pledge some money to help keep us on the air. Jack made a really important point when he talked about context matters. Information is important. You know, there are, I think it was Mark Twain who once said that there are 3 kinds of lies: lies, damn lies, and statistics. even politicians that don't outright lie, which is becoming a scarcer commodity, they very often massage the facts. So they don't necessarily lie, but they spin. Now, you could call spin a kind of lie, but the way that you deal with that is by knowing more than what they say. You actually verify the information. You verify the context. Rachel Maddow is called the great explainer. I am not in her class. She's brilliant. But I do try to bring context to what we discuss. This is something that is very important to me. I try to do a show in 2019. I try to do the kind of call-in talk show that I enjoyed in 1980. David Fowler, my favorite guy, died fairly young. Interesting character by all accounts. And the wonderful thing about him was you could call him about anything. He would discuss with you anything. He could make anything interesting. He had guests. He didn't have guests. It was friendly. My goal is to do what is predominantly a socio-political show in a way that is both informative and inviting and friendly. I have been told that I am remarkably polite to callers, and I have to tell you, that has been an acquired skill. But I think it gives me a lot more pleasure, and I hope it gives you a lot more pleasure. It's what we try to do here. We've been talking about voting, and we were talking about elections and the importance of elections. And Jack brought up that in 2021 there's going to be redistricting, and the politicians that are in office in 2021, which will be this city council, will determine districts. Districts determine how much your vote counts. So the people you're voting for in the next month are the people that will ultimately determine by redistricting how much your vote still matters, how much you're enfranchised or disenfranchised. We talk about those things, and we talk to you, and you talk back to us about those things. And that's the magical part of good talk radio. Now, of course, because we're fundraising, unfortunately, I can't take calls today, but taking calls actually is the most fun thing I do. I love taking calls. I love taking calls from people who agree. I love taking calls from people who don't agree. But all of that starts with a pledge. And the pledge can be one time, or it can be sustainer, which helps us in terms of our long-term planning. It's enormously important. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. You can also text to 713-526-5738. Text the word give, and there'll be an interactive thing, and you can work with that. We would love a sustainer. We would love big contributions, $500, $1,000. But, sometimes it's $5. I make regular political donations now, and I very rarely do more than $5 at a time, but I do $5 multiple times. So it kind of adds up, but it's relatively painless. $5 a month on your credit card, $5 a month on your debit card, $5 a month drafted from your account, or mail a check, or drop by the station and give us a donation. One of our previous pledge drives, a woman came in with a Krugerrand. Now, I don't know if all of you know what that is, but that's basically a government-issued gold coin. It was originally issued by the white supremacist government in South Africa, but it is an ounce of gold. And because it's a government-issued coin, it is a standardized ounce. That was worth about $1,300. That was amazing. That was mind-blowing. Do I expect you guys to give us a Krugerrand? It would be lovely, but it's not essential. $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month would be grand. Or grand. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Support the station that gives you rare music, regional local music, local information, interactive talk, progressive talk, sometimes non-progressive talk with progressive hosts, which can be in itself extremely interesting. Support us, 713-526-5738. I've got 20 minutes to come up with $850. It would be wonderful if we could get some movement toward that goal before my hour runs out. Okay, so getting back to some of my stuff. Okay, I'm going to run past this one very briefly because I think I have a more interesting story. North Korea doubts the U.S. will have alternative plans within 2 weeks. Basically, the great negotiator has not been able to negotiate with North Korea. Everybody is shocked that his negotiations have not been productive. So basically, the North Koreans have blown him off. John Bolton had predicted this. No love for John Bolton. You know, the guy is extreme, but he's not stupid. And there is a difference. He knew this was going to be the case. John Bolton knew that this was going to be the case. Okay, there is something that I want to talk about, and I guess this is kind of like a long-form opportunity. I was reading an article. It's called The Long-Despised Risky Economic Doctrine That Is Now a Hot Idea. It was published in Bloomberg, originally from thebusinesstimes.com. It's from about September 22nd. And it's sort of a long-form thing. Let's see how I can boil this down. The proposals so far, including recent entries by billionaire Ray Dalio and monetary policy maven Stanley Fisher, have one thing in common. They foresee the once all-powerful central bankers taking a more junior role and collaborating with governments. Now, to boil that down, central banks are supposed to be independent. They're not supposed to be politically influenced. Their goal is supposed to be maintenance of the economy, usually through things like interest rates. And what I find interesting is that there's a phrase, pushing on a string, that when you can no longer manage an economy through increases and decreases in interest rates, because interest rates are so low you can't go below zero, technically, it becomes like pushing on a string. You can no longer manage an economy with interest rates. We are already at almost record low interest rates. That doesn't give the central bank in this country and other countries much room to move. There are some countries that literally have negative interest. In other words, they'll charge you like 1 or 2 or 3 tenths of a percent from your money in order to keep your money in a bank. The incentive, of course, is don't keep it in the bank. Spend it. Create some economic activity. And the story goes on to say that, you know, right now deflation is the biggest threat. There's an emerging consensus that says the next downturn may need to be fought with direct injections of cash. I'm sorry, there's something in my headphone. Essentially, all these ideas that are being put forward by billionaires and bankers without looking at the one thing that I think we need to consider. We have multi-billionaires. We have hundreds of people that have the same cumulative wealth as hundreds of millions of people. To me, that's the problem. Now, I want to put this in a context that I think is sort of relevant, and I'll probably have to break in the middle. But, you know, we often hear about countries where land distribution becomes the primary political issue. There is so much concentration of land that everybody's a tenant and they can't make a decent living in a rural agricultural economy. So revolutions have been fought over land distribution. I think that there's a parallel between that and what we are experiencing in Western countries. And I think what I'm going to do is leave you on that hook and let us go to the next break. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Oh, me. We don't have a cart for this?
Mike. Mike, we'd like to hear why you believe that our listeners should give to KPFT. Right now, even. It doesn't matter whether they're driving. They should give right now. That's a joke. Don't give and drive.
You can use Siri to dial. I mean, this is what I tell people. You know, if you're driving, we don't want you to do anything risky. You don't have to dig for a wallet. You can voice dial KPFT 7. You have to be very, you have to enunciate very carefully. 713-526-5738. Have Siri dial or Alexa, whoever the heck you're using. And just call us and answer questions. Most cars now have remote speech in the car, so you can keep your eyes on the road, you can keep your hands on the wheel, you can minimize distraction. Just tell your selected voice response robot to call us, and we'll take information. You don't have to give us a credit card number right now. You can give us your name, your address, your contact information, your email. We can send you a reminder. We can send you a snail mail. We can send you, I'm not going to call it a bill because it's really not a bill, but basically a physical reminder of your pledge to please respond either by automated bill pay or sending a check or whatever your thing is. If you're driving, don't use that as an excuse like, oh, man, I'm in traffic. I'm driving at 60 miles an hour. I can't take the just tell your phone the number and your phone will go whatever annoying thing it does. And dial us, 713-526-5738. And, of course, you can also text to that number and just text the word give. Now, I've been spending the last minute telling you how. So let's talk about why. Why support KPFT? Why support ThinkWing Radio? I have been just thrilled to find that there are people that consider this show an important part of their day. They feel like the conversations we have, the discussions, even the debates that we have, the information that is shared, there are people that feel it makes an important contribution to their view of the world. I am humbled and proud that people feel that way. I mean, I'm not a young guy, okay? I'm 68 years old. For me to get to a place in my life where people feel that I can offer them something in terms of their perspective on politics, their perspective on social issues, their knowledge of arcane things that I may be able to share or point them to. I mean, that's for me a labor of love. I'm a volunteer. I don't do this for money. The word amateur literally means someone who does something for love. In that sense, I am truly an amateur. I love doing this. It gives me the reason to get out of the house some days. This is my thing. And what I hope is that my thing is also your thing. It's kind of the virtuous notion of La Cosa Nostra. Our thing. So if you value diverse, eclectic discussion, I mean, my God, I think last week I talked about the ninth planet might be a small black hole. I mean, how many places are gonna talk about that? But we mix that in with politics. This is what we do. Very eclectic. If you like eclectic, if you like diverse, if you like contextual, if you like obscure information just because a lot of important articles are actually buried, that's what I do on this show. Okay, the number, Pledge Central, 713-526-5738. Siri, Alexa, hear me? 713-526-5738. Okay, getting back to this thing about the concentration of land and why redistribution of land issues often cause revolutions, peaceful or otherwise. In a Western country, money is the equivalent of land. When you have a concentration of land, nobody has ownership. Everybody's a tenant. When you have concentration of money, money represents value in exchange. And if all the money is in a few hands, then everybody's a tenant. I'm going to say something that's, I know, very controversial. But what we need, not necessarily what I would call redistribution of wealth, although many will view it and interpret it that way, But I think we legitimately need a deconcentration of wealth. How many billions is enough? How many billions is detrimental to the socioeconomic infrastructure, human infrastructure of a country? How much is politically damaging? You know, we talk about Russian oligarchs, but we talk about American multibillionaires. Why don't we talk about American oligarchs? Why don't we talk about oligarchic corporations? Why don't we talk about the amount of influence that that kind of money converted into power buys? It's dangerous to a democratic nation. So, as an issue, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders both make this case, whatever you may think of them politically. As an issue, what we need is land redistribution, except it's financial redistribution. How can that be accomplished in a just way? That's a policy question. But it's a policy question we really need to address. All of these very wealthy people trying to figure out, you know, maybe we should have negative interest rates. Maybe we should have central banks collaborating with governments, turning monetary policy into a form of political policy. Or maybe we need to have a plan that doesn't come from billionaires who have a vested interest in hanging on to the billions. There's nothing wrong with being a technocrat. There's nothing wrong with being a policy maven. There's nothing wrong with looking at things from a purely economic or politico-economic standpoint. I think we're in a land redistribution moment in this country. We're seeing way too much, we're seeing way too much concentration of power, which comes from wealth. You know, you've got like the Adelsons and the Mercers and the Kochs. They have power because they have money, and the money they have gives them influence and has distorted our political system. Now, that's, as a topic, that's a little more lefty than I normally go, but I think it's a legitimate topic. Andrew's going, yeah! But I think it's a legitimate topic of discussion. You know, you may have different gradations of how you want to view that. But I think it's a legitimate topic of discussion. Redistribution of land in a rural country is about the same thing as redistribution of wealth in a Western country. It's all about the concentration of the means of production, which is already very communistic sounding. But again, frame it how you like, but think about the actual subject. And just think about it. That's Think Wing Radio. That's what we do. Just contemplate it. Okay, so that's a topic I've been wanting to talk about, but it's sort of been lengthy. But hey, lengthy really works for a fundraising show. 713-526-5738. There was another article. I think I've got, about 3 or 4 minutes? Five. Okay, there was another article that actually could use a little time. It was in Forbes on September 21st, and the article is, and this is an opinion piece, Elizabeth Warren wants to cut the value of your retirement account. And stuff that I've highlighted. Well, let's start out. Elizabeth Warren's Social Security expansion proposal is not the only one of her plans to affect Americans' retirement, but the proposal will affect Americans' retirement savings in their 401ks and IRAs and the funded status of their pension plans, which might be irrelevant, da, 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 da. And then further on down it goes, the most nebulous part of the proposal is the notion that large corporations would be obliged to pursue the, quote, best interests, unquote, of a long list of entities, not merely shareholders, but also employees, suppliers, customers, local communities where they're based, and others, with the fundamental premise that such a corporation, quote, shall have the purpose of creating a general public benefit. Now, in other words, we're talking about social capitalism, capitalism with a human face, capitalism where it's okay to make money, but it's not okay to make it a zero-sum game where you make as much money as you can and provide as little wealth as possible to everybody else that you are involved with. Another part I have highlighted is, and by the way, this the link to this is on today's show announcement. It's item number 8. What is far more concrete is a requirement that the United States corporations, that is those with over $1 billion in revenue, would be obliged to bring onto their boards of directors representatives elected by employees at a minimum ratio of 40% of the total board members. The website declares, I believe this is on Elizabeth's website, Elizabeth's plan gives workers a big voice in all corporate decisions, including those about outsourcing, wages, and investment, and references Germany as an example of a country with a similar approach. In an abstract way, of course, directors are bound to represent shareholders. If 40% of board members no longer represent the shareholders, then this is, according to the opinion piece, taking away from shareholders the ownership of 40% of the company. But this is more than just an abstract impact, the writer says. How much of a difference would it make? Well, do we have something to... okay, Jack was waving. You can't help me, Andrew. He doesn't know.
Jack said hi.
Oh, hi, Jack. All right, 713-526-5738. You know, I think he's working from a false premise. Having 40% of the board come from labor and people with community interest does not take 40% of the ownership away from the shareholders. The shareholders still have 100% of the value of their shares. What they have is a mixture of decision makers. So, I mean, the premise of this guy... person, I should say, Elizabeth Bauer, who is a retirement contributor. She writes about retirement policy from an actuary's perspective. I have to say, most people don't do well with their 401ks and IRAs. They're horrible at investing. Even very, very smart people are horrible at investing unless they just hit lucky. So I think the premise of the article is false. 40%, and you know, you can juggle the number, but a 40% representation on the board still leaves shareholders with 100% of the ownership. Period. And when you talk about a billion-dollar company, you're generally not talking about some small businessman who feels like his work is being taken away from him. These are capitalists and technocrats. I am getting my signal. I got to go. $850 is the budget. Call in before the hour, and it goes to my show, 713-526-5738. I will be back next week. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. I hope I've made this as entertaining as possible. I'll look forward to being with you folks again next week. Take care.
Check the focus of your projector lens. This test pattern should appear sharp and clear in the center as well as corners of the screen. Now adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room. Immediately following this announcement, you will see a flash and hear a beep. These should happen at the same time. If you heard the beep before you saw the flash, make the bottom loop longer. If you heard the beep after you saw the flash, make the bottom loop shorter. If your projector is set, let's try it again. Your film is now ready to be shown.
Here's that man, your Mr. Record Man. Music for you. What a man, our Mr. Record Man.
beat. He's the one who can't pick 'em, 'cause he's running the show.